Thank you so much for that. Got your Bible there to Deuteronomy chapter 1 this evening. I want to look at a couple things with you. It's good to have Brother Sister Salisley with us tonight. And they brought Layla. I say that right this time? Brought Layla to see the college and kind of anticipating coming hopefully in the fall. And so I look forward to her coming. Again, they are from about 3 hours and 15 minutes away, Camden, Missouri. Am I saying that right, Teals? So anyway, I appreciate them being with us tonight in the services. They come tonight to make sure we're using the King James Bible, so if you'll pull that one out tonight, it would be helpful to make them, you know, feel comfortable in our service. So I won't read from the NIV right now. We'll go ahead and use the King James Version tonight. Deuteronomy chapter number 1. If you're listening by internet, we only use the King James Bible. Just want to clarify that, all right? But Deuteronomy chapter number 1, look what the Bible says in verse number 1. The Bible says, "These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in the commandment unto them. After he had slain Sihon, the king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, which dwelt at Ashtaroth, and Edrei, on this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying..." Now, just in case you missed what we read a moment ago, I want to walk through just a little bit of the history of this, and I want to share a thought, and probably, Lord permit, share several thoughts in the days ahead concerning what we want to talk about tonight. All right, so let's go ahead and pray first. Church, I mean, listen, before we pray, ask the Lord again to open up your mind. And, you know, when Ezra read, he read the Word of God distinctly. He gave the sense, and then obviously the Lord used it in our life. And we want that to happen again, like every service. We've read it, but I want the Lord again to help us have an understanding of what we're about to talk about tonight. Our Father, thank you again for letting us be in church. Lord, thank you again for, Lord, the safety of your people. Lord, we think about things that were stolen. Thank you that they're just things. Lord, just ask you to help us again to focus and not miss what you have for us. You're a great God, the only God. Lord, I ask you to please help those who are tired physically. Help us tonight not to miss what you want for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, most of you know the history of Deuteronomy. The word Deuteronomy means second law. We understand that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy were written by who? Moses. All right, it was written by Moses, and God used him to write it. God told him what to write. We understand that Moses, obviously, Genesis, the creation of man, Exodus, the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt, Leviticus, the priestly law, in the book of Numbers, the numbering of the people, which was done twice in the book of Numbers, and then Deuteronomy, meaning second law, because the second generation, or a generation that had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, was about to go into the promised land. I think it's interesting that the last service we were in, I had mentioned, because I was thinking about these who are first generation Christians compared to those who are second, maybe third generation. In other words, your grandparents were saved, or maybe your parents were saved. But there's several of you, all of your family members, for the most part, are not even born-again believers because you got saved. I was talking to Brother Salisley, and I asked him at supper tonight a little bit about him, and he got saved when he was 30 years old, asked about his family members, and he still has a brother that's not saved. And again, the idea of a first-generation Christian is exactly that. I talked about how in my life that all of my family members, I don't know a family member that's not saved because of having a grandfather that got saved in a tent revival meeting, and then of course he got his family in church, and then of course his children were saved, and then I'm the product of all of that. And so it's a wonderful thing to be a second and third generation Christians if you've grown up in church. But in Deuteronomy, you have a second generation, if I can say second generation believer, but at the same token, the first generation are all dead. God said, because they, remember the story, 12 men went to spy in Canaan, 10 were bad, 2 were good, the 10 came back, and they gave this discouraging report. They don't go into the promised land, and so they wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and now we get to the book of Deuteronomy, and Moses is speaking to them to remind them of some things. Second law, the law had not changed. What God told them in Exodus, Leviticus, and even Numbers, he kind of repeats several of those things. The Ten Commandments are repeated in Deuteronomy and several other things. So he's talking to this generation as they're about to go into the promised land, and he's reminding them some things. Now, church family, I don't know if the Lord will let us go through all of them, but when you look at Deuteronomy as a whole, it's interesting to me what God repeated. In other words, God sees this second generation. This generation was not in the land of Egypt. This generation did not see the 10 plagues. This generation did not see the Red Sea part. This generation did not see the water coming out of the rock when he spoke to it. This generation did not see all of the miracles that God did. This generation did not. In fact, this generation, if you remember correctly, when they came out of the land of Egypt, they went from Mount Sinai, which is also called Mount Horeb. They got the Ten Commandments. They worked their way over to Kadesh Barnea, which is just outside the Promised Land on this side of Jordan. They send the 12 spies in. They come back. This discourages them. They don't believe God. So the Bible says that God sent them back into the wilderness, and they wandered for 40 years. Now, it took 38 years for all of those people to die. And then, of course, God worked them back over to the Promised Land. And if I can I walk you through this one more time as far as what took place? They leave Mount Sinai. Remember now, they leave Egypt. They get to Mount Sinai, Ten Commandments. God talks about the tabernacle. All that's going to take place. They make their way through the wilderness. Several things are going to happen. They get on the other side of the wilderness to Kadesh Barnea. They're getting ready to go in. They don't go in. 10 spies come back, discourage the people. Now follow now. God sends them back into the wilderness so that they can wander, so that all of those 20 and up are going to die. Alrighty? That was because they didn't believe God. So they're going to wander. They're going to die. Now, so that means the only ones that would have understood the wilderness time, the only ones that would have possibly come out of the land of Egypt are those 19 and younger. Alright, so here you have them wandering in the wilderness. Now watch, 38 years pass, wandering in the wilderness. Now the last guy's dead. God sends them back, and he really passes up Kadesh Barnea just a little bit geographically. And they go, and the Bible says on this side of the Jordan, there were two kings that they fought. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. All right, remember the story? And of course, they defeat those. This is not in the land of Canaan. This is on the outside of the land of Canaan. Now follow now. They defeat these two kings, and they're now standing on the border of Jordan. They just got done defeating Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. And now Moses is giving the last bit of instruction in the book of Deuteronomy before Joshua is going to take over and take them over into the Promised Land. Now think for a second. Moses is going to die. Joshua takes over. They're going to cross the Jordan River. What's the first city they're going to come to? Talk to me now. Jericho. Walls of Jericho. They're going to march around 7 times. So all of this is taking place in Deuteronomy. Not the Promised Land, but all of this as far as Moses getting them to the border of going into the Promised Land. Now Moses wanted to go in, but he couldn't. Why couldn't he go in? Because he struck the rock the second time, and God didn't tell him to do that. Now, think for just a moment here. I want you to go back to those first 5 verses. Now that we've got a kind of the story in our mind, let's see what the Lord's trying to say. Let's pick it up in verse number 2. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 2. There are 11 days. Now again, I've preached a message years ago, 11 days are 40 years, and that's really not the idea this morning or this evening. But he says, there are 11 days journey from Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, by the way of Mount Seir, unto Kadesh Barnea. Now, church, I don't know if you're catching the names and what's taking place, but when he said it's 11 days journey from Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, it's 11 days journey from where God gave him the 10 commandments, it was 11 days journey to Kadesh Barnea, which means God said you could have been in the Promised Land in 11 days. Now the Bible says they're in their 40th year, and the reason they're in their 40th year is because they didn't go into the Promised Land. They had to wander in the wilderness. If you're with me so far, say amen. Amen. All right, now think about what he's saying here. Now he says in verse number 3, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, look what it says, verse number 3, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. All right, now, let me read verse 5 too. On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law. Church family, when he says Moses began to declare this law, what law is he talking about? What book of the Bible? Are you all with me tonight? Say amen. All right? So here's what's taking place. Again, we're almost there, okay? Moses comes from Mount Sinai. Comes down from Mount Sinai. He's 11 days from crossing over into the Promised Land at Kadesh Barnea. Instead of 11 days, they get over there. They don't go into the Promised Land. They're going to wander for 40 years. In the book of Deuteronomy now, watch now, they defeated Heshbon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. They're standing on the border of going into the Promised Land, and Moses is giving them the book of Deuteronomy. He's going through several things that this next generation needed to know. Hey, church family, that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. I'm only going to talk about one of them. But I want to talk about this first thing, because when you look at Deuteronomy as a whole, because we're covering whole chapters here, okay? Chapters 1, 2, and 3 was the first thing. Now, it's really a long story, but chapters 1, 2, and 3 is the first thing. Now, did you remember what I just read in verse number 5? What God told Moses to tell them. New generation. This was not the generation that got to see the thunder and the lightning coming off of Mount Sinai when Moses was up there getting the Ten Commandments. This was not the generation that saw the golden calf burnt up and strawed in the water. This is not the generation that saw the miracles even of Egypt and on. This was not this is the new generation. So he's telling this new generation, church family, listen to me. As a parent, it's important for us to pass some things on to the next generation. So think for a moment here. God specifically telling Moses, this is what I want the next generation to know. I think that these things that are mentioned in Deuteronomy are specific things that we should be teaching our children as well as the next generation, because if God thought it was important for the new generation coming on the scene, then I think it's pretty important for our children to know. Are you ready tonight? Here's the first one. All right? Now I'm only going to go through one because there's 10 of them in the book. How many is glad we're only doing one? Okay? All right, glad you're with me finally. All right, now watch. Now, church family, listen, we're doing a Bible study tonight. I don't usually take, because I'm looking at three chapters. I can't read all three chapters tonight, all right? Some of you will be snoring by the time I get through the third chapter, but I'm going to point some things out to you, because, and I want to key in on four places, because between chapters 1 through 3, Moses is on the edge of going into the promised land, and he's giving the book of Deuteronomy, second law, to this new generation, and he says, I want to tell you something. And he's going to go back in history to tell them. Look what he says now. Quickly, it won't take but a moment. In verse number 6 now. Remember verse number 5? On this side Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law. Okay, so he's speaking to them now. Verse 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in where? Saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mount, Horeb and Mount Sinai, same place. Turn you and take your journey and go to the mount of the Amorites. All right. Verse number 8. Behold, I have set the land before you. What's the next four words say? Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. All right? He's going to mention some other things there. But the first place that Moses mentions is this land of Horeb. What's the land of Horeb? It's Mount Sinai. He says, when we were in the land of Horeb, God spoke to us and he said, go in and possess. We're there that far. Second place. Look at the next place. It's in verse number 19, I believe. Verse 19 says, and when we departed from where? We went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to where? And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. And what's the next four words? Five words. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and to what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you of a tribe. All right, now stop again for just a moment here. Believe me, tonight, just one thought. All right, I want you to catch tonight, okay? God's trying to tell Moses that this new generation needs to know something, and it's really, really important. So now he's going to spend three chapters talking about the history of Israel. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And he tells he's on the border about to go in. And before he goes in, he says, listen, we were at Horeb. We were 11 days from getting to where we're at right now. He says, and Horeb is where we got the Ten Commandments. Horeb is where we talked to God. Mount Sinai is where God spoke to us. He says, we went through that great and terrible wilderness to get over to Kadesh Barnea. And he says, now we got to Kadesh Barnea. Watch me now. And he says, you, now obviously it was their fathers, you came to me and said, hey, let's send spies in. And I thought it was a good idea. That's what Moses said. I thought it was a good idea. So he did. Was that a good idea? Why was it not a good idea? Because God had told them to what? Go in and possess it. Did he say, go in and send spies, then go in and possess? Or did he say, go in and possess it? So in other words, they disobeyed God when they got to Kadesh Barnea, because God didn't say, go find out if it's a good idea or not. I'm telling you it's a good idea. Go do it. All right? Look what he says next here. Verse number 21. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. They sent spies in. Verse number 26, notwithstanding, verse 26, ye would not go up and rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And ye murmured in your tents and said, because the Lord hated us. You know, it's amazing how we want to blame God when we don't do right. Did you catch that? God hates us. No, if you'd obey God, you wouldn't think God hated you. The reason you think God hates you is because you're not doing right and you're under the chastening hand of God. Sometimes my kids like to think that. It's because they're about to get a spanking. All right? You hate me. No, I love you. Come here, I want to spank the living daylights out of you. All right? All right, look what he says next. Verse number 28. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have what? Discouraged our hearts, saying the people is greater and taller than we. Verse number 29. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord God which goeth before you, he shall fight for you according to all that he did for you in Egypt. All right? Verse number 32. Ye in this thing, ye did not believe the Lord your God. Now we're not going to read all the story, but verse number 19, down to the end of the chapter, verse 46. Look at verse 46. So ye abode in where? Verse 46, so ye abode where? Kadesh is Kadesh Barnea, same place, many days according unto the days that ye abode there. All right, now, church family, watch now. He's naming four places, okay? I'm sorry there's so much groundwork, but it's three chapters, okay? He says, now, think for a second. Let me back up over here. I got this stupid coat tonight. I told my wife, I said, listen, bring me a set of clothes. I said, I got a navy blue jacket in my office, but I forgot this was my baptismal jacket. And I know it's because it's been in water that it has shrank, but I feel like I'm in a straight jacket. I know it's not because I'm growing. It has nothing about that. But, so anyway, I'm about to take this thing off. I just feel like I... stretches. Anyway. Okay. I'm back. Are you ready? Sorry, I had to get that off my mind. It's gone. Moses, about to go into the promised land. He stops. He's talking to the children of Israel. God's telling him what to say. He's telling this next generation the things that are important. The first thing he's telling him is this. Let me tell you something. Your fathers were in Horeb, and they were on Mount Sinai. And when they were in Mount Sinai, God spoke to us there and gave us the Ten Commandments there. And he's the one that told us to go in and possess. We went through that great and terrible wilderness, and we didn't like all the things we went through, but we finally got over to Kadesh Barnea. When we got over to Kadesh Barnea, God said, go in and possess. But instead of going in and possess, we sent 12 spies in. 10 came back, discouraged your heart. You didn't go in. Now look at the next place. Got your Bible there? Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the what? By the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. And the Lord said unto me, saying, ye have compassed this mount long enough. Jump down to verse number 7. And the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great, what? These how long? The 40 years that the Lord thy God hath been with thee, thou hast what? Lack nothing. Verse number 14, I'm really cutting out a lot of the passage, but look at verse 14. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was how many years? Until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord sware unto them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. All right, now. Again, so they're at Kadesh Barnea. Moses is telling a story. He says, back when we were on Mount Sinai, God said, go in and possess. We got to Kadesh Barnea, we're ready to go in. God said, go and possess. We didn't listen to God. We got discouraged. So God sent us into the wilderness. We went into the wilderness for 40 years. But you know what? I like that verse there, and it's not the message, but it really stands off the page. Did you know that even if you're in the wilderness, God said, I'm with you? That is a message in itself. Some of you ought to ponder that one, if that's the only thing you got tonight. I'm going to read it again. Verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hands. Now remember that they're wandering in the wilderness because of their own sin. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord God, thy God, hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. You know what that's called? That's called a loving, merciful God. That even we do some dumb things and we miss out on some things that maybe the Lord wanted to do in our life, he still never leaves us nor forsakes us. All right, anyway, that's a side message. So anyway, they're wandering in this wilderness for 40 years, all right? And several things happen. Verses number, chapter number 2, verse number 1, down to verse number 15 is the wilderness, all right? So we have three places so far. I told you there was four. What was the first place? Over here, what was this place? Mount Horeb, which is also called Mount Sinai, all right? And then over here, this area over here, what was it called? Kadesh Barnea, all right? Then the third place was this place right here. What was it called? Called the wilderness. And so Moses is talking about each of these places, all right? Look at your Bible again now, one more time here. Now, this is going to be where those two kings are, okay? So let me just kind of quickly point this out to you. Look at chapter 2, verse number 16. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day. All right, let me see if I can get you to jump down here. Verse number 24. Rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. I won't read all of this, but jump down to verse number 30. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit his land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. Again, saving some time, chapter number 3, verse number 1. So Sihon, king of Heshbon, is taken care of. Now look at the next guy, chapter 3, verse 1. Then we turned and went up the way to Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us, he and all his people, to battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto me, fear him not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand. And thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. So the Lord our God delivered him into our hands, Og also, the king of Bashan, and all his people. And we smote him until none was left to him remaining. All right, now church, I'm going to stop. Obviously, you could read the entire story there. But here's what took place, all right? I'm going to tell the story and thought, and you'll be okay. All right, so here's where we are. I'm over here. Sorry. Back over here. Moses. They're about to go into the promised land. This is the book of Deuteronomy. Next book after Deuteronomy is? See, some of you don't even know the next book of the Bible. Come on. What comes after Genesis? What comes after Exodus? Next. 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 All right, some of you can go back to slate now. All right, so we're in Deuteronomy. We're about to go into the promised land. Joshua's going to be leading it into Joshua. He's going to go into the promised land. Joshua's the new leader. Deuteronomy. Moses, just before he passes away, he stops. God says, Moses, I want you to tell them the things that I want this next generation to know. He spends an entire book telling them, I'm going to say 10, but I'm sure there's a lot more than that, obviously, but 10 major lessons to tell the next generation. Can I tell you something? That the next generation needs these 10 lessons, and we're only looking at one lesson. Do you know what it is yet? No, because I told you. All right? So the first thing he does, he's going through the history. He says, we started over there at Mount Horeb. God gave us the 10 commandments. God said, listen, go in and possess the land. We left Mount Horeb. We went through the wilderness. We came to Kadesh Barnea. We got to Kadesh Barnea. God said, go in and possess. We sent 12 spies in. The 10 came back and said, no, you can't do it. Joshua and Caleb said, yes, we can. They get discouraged. They don't believe God. So God says, okay, you were searching that land for 40 days. You're going to wander for 40 years. They go back into the wilderness. They wander for 40 years. Watch now. They leave the wilderness. 38 years has passed. They're all dead that God said was going to die. They didn't believe him. So here's what takes place. The Bible says, Moses is telling the people, then we came to Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan. These were big nations, by the way. The Bible says they were walled. If you read it, they were walled cities. They were fenced cities. They had many cities. These were big. But it wasn't the promised land. But they came to that place. Now remember now, this already took place. This is Deuteronomy. This is what took place. They came to the border. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of the Bashan, was the door to getting to the Jordan River to get to the promised land. They weren't going to let them through. They shouldn't have done that. Okay? So what do? They destroy them. They destroy Sihon, king of the Amorites. They destroy Og, king of the Bashan. Now here Moses is, and he's standing. Mount Horeb, God said, go in and possess. Kadesh Barnea, God said, go in and possess. In the wilderness, God said, go in and possess. Now you've destroyed Sihon, king of the Amorites. You've destroyed Og, king of the Bashan. You're about to cross over. But you know, when you look at chapters 1, 2, and 3, I'm summarizing, obviously. But you know what I think Moses was telling them that God was trying to tell them? He was trying to tell the children of Israel, don't repeat failure. Are you with me tonight? Don't repeat failure. All right? Now, church family, think for just a moment here. Here's what's taking place, okay? All right? He's reminding them what God told them to do at Mount Horeb. He's reminding them what God told him to do at Kadesh Barnea. He's reminding them what God told him to do in the wilderness. And he says, now that you've defeated Sihon, king of the Amorites, and you defeated Og, king of the Bashan, don't make the same mistakes your parents made. Now, Trishman, can I tell you, if there's anything that this next generation needs to hear that we need to continue to pass on, is not to repeat failure. Hey, how many human beings do we have in the auditorium tonight? Raise your hand if you're human. All right. Any robots tonight? All humans. Okay, good. All right, so that means if you're human, you have a sin nature, right? In other words, you have a natural tendency for failure because you're a sinner, okay? You have a natural tendency to do things that are wrong, natural tendency to disobey God. But can I tell you something, church family? What gives us the victory, and I know it's talking about victory over death, but it's true. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I understand with God's help, I don't have to yield to the flesh. I can yield to a spirit. I don't have to have failure. I can have victory in my life. Now, you know what? You know what the next generation needs to remember? Let's not repeat failure. Now, three things. All right. I know it's one point, but I want to hit it three different directions. Okay. When you look at the passage here, there were three things that happened to cause him to remind them not to repeat failure. All right. The first thing he teaches them is to make sure that they learn from their parents' mistakes. Now, parents, listen. I believe that John the Baptist's whole goal in life, according to the book of Malachi and also the book of John, that he was supposed to turn the hearts of the children to the parents and the hearts of the parents to the children. I believe that's supposed to be the goal of the pastor also, by the way. All right? I know sometimes it gets a little hairy, but if there's any way I can back the parents and push them the kids the right direction, that's what God wants the pastor to do, all right? Well, you believe it or not, I think that's what the Lord wants us to do. But can I tell you something? There are no perfect parents. Zero. There's no perfect parents. So I have failures in my life. You have failures in your life. Whether you want to admit them or not, you have failures. You have things, maybe they might, you can call them skeletons in your closet, you can call them disappointments in your life, you can call them regrets that I have, you can have things I'd like to, I don't care what you call them, but you got failures. Just hear me, the man after God's own heart was an adulterer and a murderer. How did his son turn out? Well, I think he turned out pretty good. Solomon only had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. You think Solomon would have figured out, hey, my dad had a lust problem. I probably have that same problem. I'm going to learn from my father's failure so I don't commit those kind of sins in my life. Abraham was called the friend of God. Abraham lied about his wife. And isn't it amazing that Isaac did the exact same thing? Oh, that's not my wife. She's my sister. The king's looking out and he sees Isaac and Rebekah sporting with one another. I wonder what that means. Don't wonder, okay? They were playing tennis. That's what it was. And when he saw them playing tennis, he said, ah, husband and wife. That's what he thought. You know, when you look at generations, we have a tendency to end up repeating our parents' failures. Now, listen, parents, I hope you understand my heart tonight. I'm not trying to downgrade parental authority. I'm not trying to downgrade your parent tonight. But you and I both know that what our failures in our life is, and we've got to do our best to raise our children to learn from our failures. Hey, young people, did you know it's not a crime for you to consider your parents? It's not a crime. It's not a sin. And I've been honest with you, and you've heard me say before, my dad was at least 400 pounds plus. There's no doubt about it. My dad was a big guy. The older ones here, you remember my father. My dad, he had a temper, you know, and he had other things. Now, he was a great man. I mean, man of faith. He was a giver. I mean, he had a lot of qualities. Unbelievable. He loved me. But anyway, I have to consider that. I have to consider, I've got to make sure I don't lose my temper. I've got to consider that I'll have that tendency to become angry. I've got to consider that I've got a very healthy appetite still. I like to eat all the time. And I like to eat everything. And I only like healthy things. Chocolate shake, ice cream. Last night I had a double cheeseburger from Five Guys. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's one of the most healthy places you can eat. It was good. I'm just telling you that I have a tendency to lean toward healthy things, gummy bears. I like my Snickers candy bars frozen, and then you eat them and they snap. I like them that way. I really do. My daughter last night, Sarah, says, "Hey, Dad, I want to make dessert for you." And so she said, "I don't know, dear. I've already had my Snickers candy bar." So she went over there and she put in a cup, she put peanut butter. I think it was vanilla ice cream. Am I correct on that? Vanilla ice cream. Hershey's chocolate syrup. Cool Whip. And she put it all together. Okay, now, other than being sugar-free, it was really good. Okay, so for me, I already know I have a problem with eating. Now, I tease about it, but it's real for me, all right? So I do my best not to eat at night. You can talk to my wife. I do my best not to eat late at night. My kids, I try to eat supper between 5:30 and 6 o'clock, and I try to be pretty much scheduled like that because it, and I have eaten it. It's not like I don't ever eat at night, but I do my best not to eat at night, all right? I do my best to get some exercise wherever I possibly can. You know, right now it's bike riding because it's nice outside. But I try to get some extra. I want to tell you something, church family. If I didn't try, now I'm overweight now. And there's no doubt about it. I mean, I can tell because this coat is killing me. I'm waiting for this thing to tear so I can take it off. But if I did not recognize I have a problem and work the other direction, I'd be 400 pounds. All I'm trying to say is all of us have different appetites as far as our sin appetites. And as a child, okay, don't condemn your parents, don't critique your parents, but you ought to learn from your parents. You know, your parents would be the first one to give testimony up here because they are sincere and they love the Lord. But they'd be the first one to tell you, "Hey, I tried alcohol, and I want to tell you something that takes you down a wrong road. Don't ever touch that stuff." I've had them say it. I don't know how many parents I've talked to from the Heritage Baptist Church that have said, "You know, Pastor, you know, it was before I got saved, but, you know, I got a first wife and I had to pay for all those years and it's like taking care of two families at one time. I don't want my kids to ever do that." Learn from that. Why is Moses telling them this long story of Horeb and Kadesh Barnea in the wilderness? Because I want to tell you something. They did not obey God, and so now the second generation is about to go into the promised land, he says. Don't make the same mistake. That's what he's telling them. So in order for us not to make the same mistake, number one, learn from your parents' mistakes. Number two, listen to the man of God. Hey, church family, who's the man of God in the story that's telling them, "Hey, I wouldn't go that route if I were you"? Who is it? Moses. Now, church family, can I tell you something? This mug up here is not Moses, not the Apostle Paul, not Micaiah. It's not any great man of God in the scripture. But God gives a man of God for a particular congregation. And if my face is not up here, you're still going to have a man of God. Listen to him. "I don't like how, you know, he's so fat." Well, I could be fat, bald, and wearing glasses. Let's go to the next point. All right. You want to listen to a man of God? And you know, I don't like these kind of messages when we talk about the man of God, but obviously you need to hear it, and there's so many scriptures we can go to. But you know, I want to tell you something. It is so important for you. The man of God is not a dictator, and he's not some nosy person that has to know everything that's going on in your life. I get embarrassed sometimes when people come and talk to me. I'm thinking, "Hey, don't tell me that." But can I tell you something? God gives you a man of God to help give you direction in your life. And sometimes it might not be clear to you, but sometimes the Lord will say, "Hey, listen, you just need somebody to talk to." So anyway, listen to the man of God. So if you want to make sure you don't repeat failure, number one, learn from your parents' mistakes. Number two, listen to the man of God. Number three, this to me is really interesting to me, all right? Now, I don't know if you saw it or even if you caught it, but I'm going to walk through this and see if you catch it, okay? All right, where's Moses? Moses is on the border of going into the promised land. He's giving the book of Deuteronomy, and he stops, and he says, "God told me to tell you this." Watch now. Are you ready? Say amen. Okay. So he says, "Hey, we were back over here in Horeb. We were on Mount Sinai, Ten Commandments. Lightning was going all over the place. He's the one that told me to tell you I'm going to possess the land." Lost the microphone. He says, "We went through this wilderness, and we came over to Kadesh Barnea. We were about to go in. 12 spies went in, came back, discouraged you. You didn't go in after God told you to go in and possess. You're going to wander for 40 years while that generation dies. 38 years later, they all die." Now watch now, this is neat. instead of coming to Kadesh Barnea, the Bible says they came to Sihon, king of the Amorites. Once they defeated him, the Bible says they came to the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, and defeated him. Now they're at the border again of the Jordan River to go into the promised land. Now, you know what that tells me? The generation that he's talking to, the new generation, the generation that he's talking to, watch me now, is the generation that beat Sihon, king of the Amorites, and is the generation that beat Og, king of Bashan. They never saw the Red Sea part or the 10 plagues take place. They never saw that. But you know what they did see? They saw Sihon fall, they saw Og fall, and now they're on the promised land ready to go in. Now, church, I want to tell you something. We need to learn from the mistakes of our parents. We need to listen to the man of God, but think about this. We need to look at every battle as important. You know, young people, your battles right now are seemingly small. Where am I going to get the money for college? Or, you know, who am I going to marry? Or, you know, I'm having a difficulty at work right now. Can I tell you that the battles that they were facing were seemingly small compared to when they were going to cross into the promised land and 32 nations were going to have to fall? This was only two. These were the Canaanites in the land of Canaan, in the promised land. These were outside the land of Canaan. Can I tell you that if you're going to not make the same mistake, fight the little battles well and you'll be ready for the big one. Young people, right now, your battles are, oh, I'm not supposed to be watching that. Your battle right now is fleshly things. I shouldn't talk like that. If you don't win those smaller battles right now, you're going to get defeated in some major battles coming down the road. You know, there's no telling how many Christians, not just here but abroad, how many Christians, if they could just give testimony, man, I just wish I wouldn't have done this because I wouldn't have done that. Church, have you ever thought about the reason David was able to kill the Goliath is because he fought a lion and a bear? He comes and says, I've already killed a lion and a bear. I can defeat that Philistine. You're going to have battles in your life like Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of the Bashan, that's going to prepare you from going into the promised land, which is God's will for your life and what God wants to do in your life. But you're going to miss God's will for your life because you're not even passing the small battles. You can't even obey your mom and dad at home. That's a small battle. You can't even come to church unless I'm going to hit it again. You can't even bring a Bible to church. That's a small battle. You can't even obey an alarm clock that's going off and get yourself out of bed. That's a small battle. There's going to be a whole lot bigger battles coming your way. And by the way, with bigger battles comes bigger blessings. And you're going to miss out on all those blessings because you're not even willing to fight a Sihon or an Og. I'm done. Almost. Moses wants so bad to go into the promised land. But he's not going to be able to because he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. He begs God so much that God says, okay, don't ask me anymore. Go up to the top of Mount Pisgah and you're going to be able to see the land, but you're still not going to be able to go into the land. Moses now is talking to this new generation going back. These are the things God wants you to know. And the first thing he wants you to know is don't make the same mistake. I know what you're thinking. I'll never do that. Won't happen to me. Can I tell you there's bigger Christians than you? Solomon, the wisest person that ever lived, allowed women to cause him to turn from God and cause a bunch of havoc to happen in the future. David, the man after God's own heart, who was called the sweet psalmist of Israel, came out on the balcony one night and thought he was strong enough, and he still called that woman to him and committed adultery with Bathsheba. I'm going to tell you something. We're just flesh. We're dirt, but we're flesh. Learn from somebody else's mistake. Hey, how many of you ever heard? How many ever heard that statement? The only thing we learn from history is that we do not learn from history. How many's heard that before? All right. Believe it or not, 1781 to 1831. It was a German philosopher. I don't know anything about him. Just read his name, what years he was born, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, he's the one that made that statement. And you know what? The reason that statement has hung around was not because of that German philosopher, because he was really a nobody. But you know why that statement has stayed around for all these years? Because it's true. The only thing people learn from history is they don't learn from history. I want to tell you something. You're going to miss out on this. God's perfect will for your life. You're going to miss going into the promised land, God's perfect will. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. You're going to miss that. And the reason you're going to miss that is because you're not willing to learn from other people's mistakes, and specifically generational sins, specifically learning the mistakes from my parents, specifically not listening to the man of God, and specifically this idea of looking at not looking at the battles you're in, the smaller battles, not looking at something important. You think it really doesn't matter because nobody knows. God knows. You can. So, generation growing up, next generation growing up, you have an opportunity to do great things for God, but you're not going to do great things for God if you don't learn from somebody else's mistakes. You know, there's certain things, I don't have to make these, you know, how many times I've said it, you can either learn by, first of all, what? Obedience, or second of all, experience. Why do I have to learn from experience? Why can't I learn from obedience? That's the better way of doing it. Children of Israel, he spends three chapters telling them about history, a history lesson. And the history lesson was just to remind them, don't repeat failure. Don't repeat failure. Would you bow your head and close your eyes tonight?